Okay, so we are about to start the Melacha of Me'abe. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us that there are 39 Melachos. As we've already seen, I think you can more or less actually characterize the Melachos into four groups. The first 11 are the Sidur Depas. The next 13 are Melachos that relate to preparing clothing, starting from Gozes Asat Samer, and concluding with Tofer, Shtei Tefiros. And then we have, as we'll see, at least the way the Rambam sets it up, we have nine Melachos that relate to Hachana of the Sefer. And then the final group of six are really random. So we're in that third category of the Melachos of preparing a Sefer. We've had tzad, shochet, mafshit. And now the Mishnah says, the hamolcho, the hama'abed es oro. So the problem is that molcho, ma'abed es oro seem to be identical. And the Gemara and Ein Himabes asked this question, hainu malaya, hainu ma'abed. There's no difference between the two. Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Shlokesh, Dami Tavayu, apik chad minayu, v'ayel sirtut. So interestingly enough, the Mishnah 9 Gimel on the base is not actually the correct list of Melachos. Rather, instead of Moleach, we will, or one of the two, we will replace that with Sirtut. So what does that mean? So first of all, what does Ma'abed mean? Ma'abed is tanning. Tanning is the process of turning hide, which is perishable and will spoil, into leather, which is something that is long lasting, right? It's actually a pretty interesting thing, right? Like you have the skin of let's say a chicken, and you sometimes wonder, like, how does this chicken skin like turn into shoes? So I don't know if you could actually turn chicken skin into shoes exactly, but the process of tanning is the process of taking this rawhide skin, right, the skin of a cow or a deer or something like that, which is skin, you know, not that different than our skin, and turning it into leather. And this process has various steps. They include curing and tanning, and all of them are to preserve the hide. If you just left it as it is, it would break down, it would spoil. So, as I said, there are different steps. They would soak the hides in salt to dehydrate them. That's the first step, to take out all the liquid. And then they would put them into tanning solutions. And then there would be a process called finishing, where you apply oil to make the leather softer or subtle. Anyway, that's the basic process. So the problem is that meliach, which is pouring the salt or salting the hide, is really ibud. And therefore, the Gemara says that there's a redundancy here. And presumably over here, we can't give the type of answer that we said for Bor Zoro Merakeid. Even there was a machlokus, we showed him how to understand it, but here probably because they're identical. In other words, Bor Zoro Merakeid, there are at least, even though conceptually they were all melachos of Borer, but there were some differences. We noted actually that there's a stir in Rashi, between Rashi and the Gemara, Rashi and the Mishnah, exactly what the differences are, but we could still isolate them and define them differently. But this is Ma'am Shainu Hach. And therefore, the Gemara has no choice but to say, right, these aren't two separate Melachos. And so we're going to bring in another Melacha that we didn't mention, and that's Sirtut. So we'll talk just one moment about Sirtut. If you look actually at the Rishonim, it seems like they have two different Gedarim of this Melacha of Sirtut. Rashi says, Shadera Charatz Anim Keshuba L'chatcho. So it sounds to me like the following. Let's imagine that you are making a ritzuos for tefillin. So before you were mechatech, you have a big piece of leather, and now you're going to cut thin strips for your ritzuos. Before you do that, so you would do mesartet. You would draw lines, smooth, straight lines. And this was a hachana, basically, for mechatech. And that's what you would do to make your tefillin ritzuos. The Rambam, Perak Aleph, Yud Aleph, Halacha, Yud Zayin, says, Hamisartate kede lichto shte osios tachas oso sirtut chayev. So the Rambam defines the av as misartate, which is done when preparing to write. If you look at a Sefer Torah, you'll notice that there are lines, and that's usually what we think of when we think of sirta. These help draw straight, write in a straight line, and that's what the av is. And therefore the shir, shtei osios, because it's shayach to the mlach of kosev, where the shir is shtei osios. The Rambam continues, harshe ha'etzem shemavirin chut shel sikra agabi akora kedei sheyinsor b'shave, hareze toldos misarte. Then he says other types are toldos, like what woodmakers would do when they draw lines. So it seems to me that what Rashi defined as the av, the Rambam would define as a tolda, because the av is sirtut for ksiva, as opposed to other forms of sirtut. Now, why did Rashi explain it the way he did? Because in the Binyan HaMikshkan, there was no sirtut for ksiva. The only ksiva that there was in the Binyan HaMikdash was the numbering of the krashim, as we'll see later. And there was no reason to assume that they did sirtut over there. They just wrote numbers so they would know exactly how to place the krashim. So Rashi's position is very intuitive. Where would they have done sirtut? When they were preparing to cut the hides, the leather. So what about the Rambam? Why did the Rambam write that the av relates to kosev, if after all, in the Mishkan, they didn't do it with kosev? So I think we'll see as we go through some of the next malachos that the Rambam might be lishitaso in trying to make everything kosev oriented as opposed to the way that it was done in the Mishkan. For example, the Rambam, and again, we'll return to this point and we'll analyze when we get to kosev if what I'm saying is actually pashat, but for now we'll say it like this. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin also writes that Roshem is a told of Kosev. And the Rambam in the Pirsha Mishnayos on the Mishnah Kuf Beis Med Aleph and the Magid Mishnah notes this as well, understands that the Machlokas over there between the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi says there's an Av of Kosev, Roshem. The Av isn't Kosev, the Av is Roshem. And the way Rashi, for example, seems to understand that is Rabbi Yossi says the Av is Roshem, and the Chacham say the Av is Kosev. Why did the Rabbi Yossi say the Av is Roshem? Because that's what was done in the Mishkan. Because as I said, they didn't have to write per se; they just needed to be Roshem the letters, the numbers to well, they were actually letters, I guess, to order the Mishkan, to order the Krashim. So the Chachamim though say, but according to Rambam, the Chachamim hold that, of course, Roshem is Asar Midoraisa, it's just a Tolda. In other words, even though what was done in the Mishkan is actually the Tolda, and what's the Av? The Av is Kosev. And so too over here. What was done in the Mishkan was, let's assume, Sirtut on the leather, like Rashi says, but the Av is still Sirtut for Ksiva. And there might be other examples where the Rambam does this. The Rambam focuses on the kosev. In fact, as we noted before, we're in the sidura de ksiva now. And luchora the pshat is that the Rambam focuses on ksiva because ksiva is more chashav. Ksiva is more chashav than rishima. Sirtut l'ksiva is more chashav than sirtut l'or. And therefore, the av is defined in terms of the chashivas and not per se what was done in the Mishkan. This relates to the discussion, if you remember, we had at the beginning of the year, the Machlokas HaRishonim at the beginning of Bava Kamma and elsewhere, about how do you define Avos and Toldos. And actually the Girsa of the Gemara over there in terms of, and there were three Girsos, as we saw, of that Gemara. But a number of Rishonim held that to be an Av, you need two things. You need to be B'Mishkan and B'Chashav. Chashivas plays a role, maybe Chashivas even plays the only role. So I would imagine that the Rambam held that, as opposed to Rashi, which is, let's say, in terms of figuring out which is the Av, he's more Mishkan focused. The Rambam is more Ksiva focused because of the Chashivas. And therefore, Sirtut for Ksiva is the Av. And Sirtut to simply cut the leather would be considered a tolda. I don't know if there's any nafkamina in this machlokas, because either way, it's going to be an iser de oraisa. In other words, you know, like we said, Rashi would agree what the Rambam says is the av. Maybe he would say it's a tolda, I don't know, but it would be aser de oraisa, and Rambam would say what Rashi calls is the av is the tolda. So I don't know if there's any nafkamina. But this is perhaps, and again, we'll look for clues as we go on, an interesting machlokas in terms of whether we're going to be, we look at the Mishkan more to define the Av, or Chashivas, and therefore Ksiva to define the Av. So turning now to Ibud. So we've discussed what the Orais of Ibud is, but what we're going to primarily focus now on is the question of Ibud Be'ochlin. Generally speaking, I don't know if any of us have ever tanned leather or violated Ibud De'oraisa, even during the week. But what about Ochlin? So this is a discussion in the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Haiman De Malach Bisra Chayev Mishom Me'abed. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, if you salt meat, that is a violation of Ma'abed. Rav Amar, Ein Ibud Be'ochlin. Rav says, no, there's no Ibud for Ochlin. And then Rav Ashi clarifies, Vafilu Rav Amar, Rav Huna, Lo Amar, Ela Dekabai, Le Orcha, Avalabesa, Lo Mashvi, Inish, Mechlei, Eitz. When is it that Rav Amar, Rav Huna held that salting meat is an Isser de Oraisa? That is when you are salting for preservation. We actually talked about this last year when we did Meliach Kiroseach, Machlokas Rishonim, how much is needed. If you recall from there, sometimes a person would salt meat to preserve it, producing something probably like jerky, beef jerky. You put a huge amount of salt on it, and that dries out all the meat, dehydrates the meat, similar actually to the process of the dehydrating of the leather, which prevents it from being perishable. So you would put a huge amount of salt onto this meat to dry it out. And it would literally make it like wood. That's what the Gemara is saying. And this is not a normal thing that people will do for home use. I'm told that beef jerky is now like a luxury item. It's very expensive and the like, and people don't just do it because they lack refrigeration when traveling. It's actually considered as something good. But in the olden days, so nobody normal would ever, turn their nice steak into a piece of wood unless they needed to, like they were traveling or the like. And therefore, Rav Ashi says that when Rabba Bar Rav Huna said that salting meat is chayv mishum abed, that doesn't mean like the standard salting that we would do normally, either for taste or even for kashrus purposes, where you do actually use quite a lot of salt, but not nearly as much. The salting you do to remove the blood, that type of salting would not be nisr de oraisa. It's only the salting that would be done to preserve the meat that would be nisr de oraisa, according to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So we have a machlokas then between Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rava, whether there is ibud be'ochlin. The Rambam paskins like Rava that ain ibud be'ochlin. Why? The Mefarshim say du basra. Rava is the basra, and we should therefore follow Rava. The Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh, which is cited in the Magen Avraham Shin Chafal Zayin, sounds like he's paskining like Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that there is Malicha Ba'ochlin. The Magen Avraham wonders, how could that be? Halacha Kirava Du Basra. why would the Rashba paskin that there's ibud oraisa by ochlin? So if you look at the Gilyan Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he suggests that's because Rav Ashi explains the view of Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rav Ashi is even after Rabba. So the fact that Rav Ashi is the one who explains the view of Rabba bar Rav Huna, that shows that we paskin that way. At least that's what the Rashba held. And that's why the Rashba paskins that there is ibud deoraisa be'ochlin if you salt in a way that is done to preserve the food. Lamaisa, we paskin like the Rambam that there's no ibud deoraisa by ochlin. Either way, question arises, is there any type of iser derabbanan? So if you look at Tosfos on our Gemara,
Rabbi, how do we know according to the Rambam there's any ibud by ochlin at all?
Well, I don't know that. Correct. All I know so far, what I said is there's no iser deraisa. You're correct that there's probably no iser derabbanan for the Rambam either. But if you look at Tosfos on that Gemara, Tosfos on the Gemara that says Ein ibud ba'ochlin writes Ein lahater mikan malichas ochlin da'aser midrabbanan malicha perek shmona shrotzim afil biyantif aser perek kamen beya. Says Tosfos that there's no malicha midi oraisa, but there is malicha midi rabbanan, and that's on the Gemara Kuf Ches on the base, and it's even aser on yantif. Since it's aser because it resembles ibud, which is aser on yantif, so therefore it's aser on yantif as well. Presumably the Gemara on Kuf Ches on the base, Kuf Ches on the base, what does it actually say? So the Gemara over there basically says that there's deals with two isurim over there. Number one is melicha ba'ochlin, and number two is the making of mei melach. So Tosfos says that what's that isur? The base of that isur is because it's domel ibud, and Rashi over there explains that the same thing is true by making brine, making mei melach. That too, part of the process of ibud of leather is to make this brine, to make this mei melach, and therefore it's also midrabanan. So that is the view of Rashi Tosfos, that there's an issur derabbanan of salting food or making salty water. However, the Rambam, as Yoni just alluded to in Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Yud, says, no, that issur derabbanan discussed in Perek Shmona Shratzim is nothing to do with Ibud. It has to do with some form of Bishul derabbanan, because Kavush is Kemivushel, Maliach is Kiroseach. When you salt food or pickle food, it's a process that resembles cooking in that it preserves it, it changes it, it transforms it, and therefore there's an issur derabbanan because of the similarity to bishul. It's certainly not going to be bishul d'oraisa. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden notwithstanding, it's not going to be bishul d'oraisa because even if you prepare food or make it edible through the process of pickling, that is not bishul d'oraisa because there's no heat involved, but it would be asur midrabanan because of the similarity to bishul. So like Yoni was saying, for the Rambam, there might not be any asur midrabanan at all of ibud v'ochlin. The Rambam, either way, it can be asur to salt food. We'll see how to define salting food in a moment, but either way, it's going to be an asur midrabanan of salting food. However, the debate between the Rambam and let's say Rashi and Tosfos is what's the reason for that iser derabbanan of salting food? According to the Rambam, it's aser mishum bishul, and according to Tosfos and Rashi, it's aser because it resembles ma'abed or could lead to ma'abed. Now, is there any nafkamina? In other words, in the end of the day, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to salt food midrabbanan. Is there nafkamina, whether it's because of bishul or whether it's because me'abed? So one nafkamina relates not to the salting, but another malacha. The Mordechai writes, we'll see this when we get to the malacha of Memareach, the Mordechai writes that there's no meruach ba'ochlin, just like there's no ibud ba'ochlin, but just like there's ibud derabbanan ba'ochlin, so too there's miruach derabbanan ba'ochlin. Now that might be limited to a case where you're smoothing out the food in some way that's misaking the food. In other words, if you could eat the food without smoothing it out and you just smooth it out to look nice, then that might not be mimareach. That's usser. But at least if you have a case of mimareach midrabanan, miruach, which is misakin ochel, and we'll get to the examples of that when we do mimareach, then that would be usser midrabanan. Now, l'chora, the Mordechai is assuming like Tosfos that the isser of salting is because of ibud derabanan, and therefore he basically extends the logic to other malachos. He says, look, there is an isser de'oraisa of ibud for leather, and an isser, but on a de'oraisa level we say ein ibud ba'ochlin. So too, there's an isser de'oraisa of mimareach, let's say, by leather, but we'll say ein mimareach ba'ochlin. But just like there's an isser rabbanan of ibud ba'ochlin, so too there should be an isser rabbanan by mimareach of ochlin. If you learn like the Rambam that the isser rabbanan of salting has nothing to do with ma'abed, it has to do with bishul, so then obviously there's no reason that you would extend that to mimareach. So one nafkamina between the machlokas, we'll call it between the Rambam and Tosfos, again, it doesn't have to be a nafkamina, but at least the Mordechai thought it was a nafkamina, is whether you'll say there's an isser derabbanan of mimareach ba'ochlin, according to the Mordechai, since he learns like Tosfos that there's ibud derabbanan ba'ochlin, so too there'll be mimareach derabbanan ba'ochlin. So we'll return to that question and any possible applications to that when we do mimareach shortly, be'ezus Hashem. We'll talk about other nafkaminas in a moment between this machlokas Rambam and Tosfos. Are there any nafkaminas not in other malachos, but in this malacha? But first, let's note something that's very strange, which is if you turn to the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph. And if we look at Siv Beis and Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch gives you two different reasons for these Yisurim. In Siv Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you cannot make a lot of brine to put for the kvashim, like you can't make salty water to pickle your pickles. Even if you don't put the pickles in, just making the salt water is aser. So in Sif Beis, whose mahalich is the Mechaber quoting? He's quoting the mahalich of Taisus and Rashi, not of the Rambam. It's dami li'ibud, that's why it's aser. And then he discusses that. We'll get back to the details of Sif Beis. And then in Sif Gimel, he says, Aser limloa chatichos tznom dalet ohe biachad mipnei shenirek kovish kvashim v'akovish aser mipnei shenirashel. Sif Gimel, he goes, and he passes like Rashi, like Tosfos. Like the Rambam, that the Isser is because of kovish kvashim, because of bishul, shukim v'ashel. So it's so strange. Why did the Rambam in Sif Beis? Why did the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis cite the reason of Tosfos, and in Siv Gimel, he cited the reason of the Rambam. So, very, very interesting. Is there an afkamina? Is there an afkamina between the approach, again, in these halachos, not in other malachos, but in these malachos, is there an afkamina between the two? And that's going to be important because, if you're going to quote two different reasons and there's an afkamina, then the fact that the Shulchan Aruch gave two different reasons is going to be particularly problematic. So I saw that in note 24 in the Deer Shoe, where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says maybe sugar is an afkamina. If you learn like Rashi, it's limited to salt because you don't ever use sugar to tan leather. But if you learn like the Rambam, then sugaring also looks like pickling, which also looks like bishul. I'm not entirely clear about that. You don't usually use sugar for pickling, but I think there are ways of food preservation that use sugar, like candy is sort of like that, or drying out fruits and things like that. In other words, you can you could preserve fruits through sugar instead of salt. And therefore, if you learn like the Rambam, then sugaring would be aser. If you learn like Rashi Taisa, sugaring would be mutter. So that might be a nafkamina. Another nafkamina possibly is in the Taz. The Taz is according to the Rambam, it's going to be usser to pour wine into vinegar because that's also like kovish kvashim. In other words, why would you pour wine into vinegar? You want to make more vinegar. So you add wine to vinegar and that That's basically like kovish kvashim, because you want the yain to be nechbash v'nasa chometz. So if you learn like Rambam, then you could have this iser would apply to pouring wine into vinegar. If you're like Rashi, there's no basis for that because this has nothing to do with ibud. You never use wine and that. Oh. Benjamin tells us that you can make candied orange peels by boiling them in sugar. Okay, good. So that's what Shlomo Zalman is talking about.
Rabbi, when you mix the wine with the chometz, I just don't get the metzias, but couldn't that also be an inyan of preserving one of the liquids?
Maybe. I would imagine that the process is so unlike. In other words, it's the same type of logic that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying, that we're not going to say preserving food is automatically asamed rabbanan. It's preserving food in a way that resembles how leather is preserved, right? So you preserve leather through salt, so therefore the iser applies to salting food. It wouldn't apply to sugaring food because you never preserve leather using sugar. Likewise, you don't preserve leather by vinegar. So therefore, pouring wine into vinegar is not like pouring salt into water. Whereas if you learn like the Rambam, that it's the preservation per se that makes it doma l'mishal, so then all forms of food preservation would be aser, because they're all doma l'mishal. And if you learn like Rashi and Tosfos, it's not going to be all forms. It's not like they made an iser d'rabbanan of food preservation. They made an iser d'rabbanan of doing activities that resemble ibud. And therefore, anything that resembles ibud in some way is going to be aser. I think that's what they're both assuming. So we might have some nafkaminas. It could be, I don't know, that the Shulchan Aruch wasn't makbid to give one reason because he didn't think there was a nafkamina. So he thought, let me say both reasons. There's not really a nafkamina. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for why the Shulchan Aruch gave two different reasons. Returning to the details of Sif Beis, so let's read Sif Beis carefully and consider what practical applications might emerge from this. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein osin me melach harbe." You may not make a lot of salt water. What does a lot mean? So Mishnah Berurah says that means more than one meal's worth. The Magen Avraham actually says it means for the next meal. In other words, let's say you made one meal's worth, but for later in the day, like for Shalosh Shudos. In the morning, you were preparing Shalosh Shudos. You wanted to have some mei melach in Shalosh Shudos to dip. You know, you're going to practice for Pesach, and you were going to dip your karpas into salt water at Shalosh Shudos. So, Muhammad just said she always used to do that.
Olaya
used to do that.
Anything with potatoes, she would dip in salt.
Look at that. Gansi or Pesach, 30 days before, I think you have to stop. So you want to make it for Shalosh Shudos. It sounds like the Magen Avraham would think that's usher, sort of like Boer. But the Mishnah Berurah says that's not true. As long as you're making only one meal's worth, it's fine. So, okay, we pass him like the Mishnah Berurah. He doesn't accept the Magen Avraham. So you can't make more than one meal's worth of Mei Melach. Fine. Aval, the Shulchan Aruch continues, Yachal lasas mimenu me'at, you can make a little, like we said, a little is one meal's worth, lasas l'tocha tavshil. To make one meal's worth of salt water to put in a tavshil, v'nasan l'tocho, shnei shlishe melach, asur lasas mimenu afilu ba'at. If you're going to put in two-thirds salt, then even a small amount is aser. That type of brine making, murias, is aser even when it's a small amount. So the Magen Avraham adds that even though we're talking about salt water, mei melach chudin l'chol mashkim. So for example, chomet, if you mix salt with vinegar, That would also be aser. You can't mix salt and vinegar, except la'oso suda, but not for suda acheres. So this actually is a very relevant question then. Am I allowed to make salad dressing for more than one meal? Let's say I want to make salad dressing made out of salt and sugar and water and vinegar, which are all typical ingredients. And a lot of times people like to make a lot of salad dressing at once. Sometimes that's easier. That might solve the halchana issue. Making like 1 ounce of salad dressing is more difficult than making 8 ounces of salad dressing. So you make a big bottle of salad dressing. So is that going to be usher? Is that going to be usher? People like to do this. So I think I thought of maybe tutsdatim to be mako. The first side is maybe you don't have enough salt. In other words, maybe for this isser of asiyas mei melach requires very salty things. And there's not enough salt. Salad dressing has a little bit of salt. It's a tricky tzad l'hakel because no shear is given. In other words, it doesn't say anywhere what the shear is of salt, what percentage of salt is needed to make it usher. Right? If it's 2/3 salt, then it's usher even not. Okay, definitely salad dressing is much less than 2/3 salt. So it's definitely going to be mutter to make salad dressing like this for the immediate meal. But the question is, am I allowed to make a lot? Am I allowed to make a whole bottle of salad dressing? So it's not so pasha to be matir based off of this, because again, it does not give you a specific shear of salt. So maybe another tzad to be mekel is maybe it's only salt plus one other thing that's aser. In other words, salt and water or salt and vinegar, but salt and vinegar and sugar would be okay. Is that possible? Not clear. Not clear. But if you look at the Tosefta Shabbos, just 1 second, the Tosefta Shabbos has a kula. Mishnah Berurah cites the Tosefta Shabbos, and he says it would be permissible because the Shulchan Aruch only prohibits lases l'toch ha'kvashim. So when you're going to be putting this salad dressing on salad, not on kvashim, it would be mutter. But he quotes that the El Yerabah and the Meiri are machmir on this. They say no. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says it's asa lases l'toch ha'kvashim, but when he says it's mutter lasis l'tocha tavshil, he says it's only mutter for one meal. And it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is machmir on this shayla. In other words, it's going to be usher, even if it's not lasis l'tocha kvashim, even if it's lasis l'tocha tavshil or l'tocha salad, it's going to be usher if it's more than one meal. So therefore, again, just to clarify that point, this is a Mishnah Berurah test. The Shulchan Aruch says it's aser lasis l'tocha kvashim. So the Tosefta Shabbos says, oh, anytime it's not lasis l'tocha kvashim, it's going to be mutter. And therefore making salad dressing would be okay according to the Tosefta Shabbos. But the Eli Rabbah says, no, that's not true. Even though that, you know, there's a stira a little bit in the diuk between the Reish and the Seifa, but the correct diuk to make is that it's only mutter when it's for one meal, and therefore to make for multiple meals would be aser. So that's not going to be a very good kula for us. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud, though, has a kula that might save us. And that is that he cites that there are those that are lenient when oil is added because it weakens the potency of the salt. And the Mishnah Berurah, though, adds that you can't add the oil at the end because then you've already violated the iser. Let's say you first put in the salt and the water and the vinegar, and then you put the oil in last, so then you've already violated the iser, it sounds like. But, so therefore, if you want to make salad dressing on Shabbos, and you want to make it for more than one meal, and you want to put salt in it, so then what you should really do is first add the oil, it might be also to, let's say, do salt, vinegar, water, sugar, then oil, but if you start with the oil, or you end with the salt, then that would be okay. So again, lemaisa, if you're just making for one meal, then making the salad dressing is okay. If you're planning to make for many meals, it seems to me that it's best to add the oil at the beginning or the salt at the end. Let me take a Yoni's question. Go ahead.
In terms of the shear, wouldn't the shear be determined? Tosis kedisle ramam kedisle. Like Rashi says that it needs to be domal ibud, wouldn't you have to like it be enough to harden it in some way? like that's Rashi's lashon. According to the Rambam, you would have to accomplish,
to possibly preserve.
Yeah.
In other words, if it wasn't enough for kodesh kvashim, if there was sold, let's say you took, you know, you put pickles, cucumbers into the salad dressing, and they wouldn't be pickled. So then that wouldn't be enough. Yes, you could make that case. You could have made that case. I didn't see the poskim make that case. And maybe because I don't know. Actually, I'm going to argue in the next sif to be makel, in the case of putting salt on vegetables, along the lines of what you're suggesting. And perhaps you're correct. Perhaps over here, if you put so little salt that in your salad dressing that it wouldn't in any way pickle or the like, it wouldn't then that would be mutter. The tricky part is, even if you're right, I'm not sure exactly how much salt that is. In other words, salad dressing, you know, if you ate it plain, could be pretty salty. Now, it's not that salty when you sprinkle it in a lot of salad. So even if you're right, and I do hear what you're saying, I'm not exactly sure what that shear would be. So therefore, I think the recommendation that I said, which is to put in the oil first or the salt last, is a good, safer bet. And usually that's going to be okay. Most salad dressings at least have some oil in them. I guess if you have a really healthy salad dressing, maybe you don't put oil in. But most salad dressings that I've seen have some type of oil.
Then maybe you wouldn't put salt in either.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Is there, maybe you can ding zach on that according to the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't say, first of all, just because it's nishu kemevashel, so you have to figure out what that shear is for malicha, but even it, particularly
you're talking about the heter of oil. Sorry, you're that's what you're questioning.
Yoni's heter that Yoni was just talking about.
Oh, Yoni's heter, okay.
Yeah, and particularly when you're talking about making salad dressing, Graham doesn't actually say anything about bishul when he's talking about that. He says nisha near osim malacha mi malacha tatavshil. He doesn't mention bishul until he talks about.
I understand, but it's not Malechas HaTavshil. What Yoni's arguing is it's not really Malechas HaTavshil at all.
What does Malechas HaTavshil mean? That means
I assume some type of Tikkun Ochel. And when I say Tikkun Ochel, it means something that relates to the transformation of food. Salad dressing doesn't really transform the food. It might flavor it a little bit.
I'm not sure why the Rambam doesn't. He writes Menishu Hukim Evashel at the end of the Halacha, and he writes Menishu Nirik Osem Malechas HaTavshil. Rabbi seems to be translating that in the same way. And the Ram has two different formulations there.
So how do you want to say it?
I don't know.
That it's that there's two dinim. There's Malachas HaTavshil, which is true for making salt water. You know, if you're right, it would, at least to some degree, mitigate the stira in the Shulchan Aruch, in that at least it's not mamish the same thing. It still would be a little strange.
Perhaps melecha the tavshil means the things you do when making a tavshil, not necessarily the cooking itself, but the various things you do.
But where's the Isser Derabanan?
It looks like you're doing something having to do with making food.
What's the issue?
If you do, the person who puts down the fire on the pot is also mevashel.
Yeah, but what does this look like?
This looks like you're starting the bishul process.
It doesn't. This is probably starting the bishul.
Does making fire look like bishul? Ram says, yeah, that's bishul.
Uh-huh. Okay. I understand that, but I don't know why this would be that. Maybe that's why the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch didn't like that. So that's why he threw an ibud in Sif Beis.
If putting salt in water, it looks like ibud because it's the beginning of the ibud process. But it's not actually tanning the leather at all. So maybe the various things which having to do with Malechas Habish, Asiyas HaTavshil, are associated activities having to do with cooking.
That's what Donnie's saying. I understand. I don't know what that's. If it's not cooking. In other words, it's not because, kavush kemivushal. If it's not actual cooking, then I don't know what it would be. What iser there is of tavshil other than bishel?
Well, why is putting water, salt into water, part of Malachas Ibud?
The Rambam has nothing. Things, has nothing to do with Ibud. We're trying to understand the Rambam.
Oh.
Okay. But for Rashi, it has to do with Malachas Ibud, because that's the process of tanning. The process of tanning begins with making a brine. Okay. So turning to Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel, as we mentioned, the Rambam discusses, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the Isser of salting vegetables. And this is actually a very common question. Am I allowed to put salt on cucumbers? Let's imagine for Shal Shittis, what I want to do is cut up a bunch of cucumbers, put them on a plate, and sprinkle some salt all over the cucumbers. So the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah write that even though the example that the Shulchan Aruch gives is tznon, radishes, this iser would apply to anything that is commonly pickled. So it wouldn't necessarily apply to tomatoes. If we don't pickle tomatoes, I don't know, maybe green tomatoes are pickled, I'm not sure. But so it might not apply to a lot of vegetables, but it certainly would apply to cucumbers and peppers probably, and other types of vegetables that are pickled. So therefore, it would seem that from what the Shulchan Aruch says, it would be usur to cut up that cucumber and sprinkle salt all over it. Now, maybe it should be mutter because I'm just putting a very little salt on this. I'm not trying to pickle my cucumbers. I'm not even really doing meliach that in Yoruday we would say is meliach kiroseach. It's not like meliach letavshil. It's not meliach for latsnia. It's not just a little bit of salt on the top to give my cucumbers a little bit of flavor. So the Dirshu note 15 writes from contemporary sources, at least some sources, that even a little bit of salt, kol shehu is asur. So that's not going to help. So one possible basis for leniency is that if cucumbers are not pickled when cut, so then some achronim are mekel. In other words, the iser is only when I'm doing something that looks like the process of pickling. And over here, how do they make pickles? They pickle whole cucumbers, not cut cucumbers. And the Dirshu note 18 quotes from Shlomo Zalman and Rav Elyashiv as saying, therefore, it's mutter to put some salt on cut up cucumbers because it's not ein derech lemalchem kishehem chatuchim. So that is true in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, all the pickles are, they're either whole pickles or even if you got sliced pickles, they are pickled and then sliced. Is it true in America? It's not true in America, apparently. Apparently that in America, when, at least this is what my limited internet research indicated, I'm sure that Gabe might say I'm wrong. So I welcome any mistakes in my research. But it seems to me that when they sell sliced pickles, they do sometimes slice them and then pickle them. Therefore, that's not going to be a good kula in America, even if it might help in Eretz Yisrael. Another kula along similar lines is to make the following argument, which I saw some contemporary poskim do. Since peeled cucumbers are not pickled, then it would be okay to salt them. That's what Rabbi Ribiat says. So this doesn't help for all cucumbers because many people don't peel their cucumbers. You get the British cucumbers or the Persian cucumbers, then they're not peeled. They sort of the waxy, old-fashioned American cucumbers are peeled. But at least if you're going to peel your cucumbers, that's when Rabbi Ribiat says it's okay. Now, it's not so pashut, because people often make cucumber salad with peeled cucumbers. And not only that, but if you do a quick Google search, you'll see lots of people make homemade pickles with peeled cucumbers. My grandfather used to make every Shabbos what he called pickle salad. Pickle salad was cucumber salad. He just called pickles cucumbers, and he would make them with peeled cucumbers. He would peel the cucumbers and soak them in like vinegar and water and onions for a couple of days, and then you would eat that on Shabbos. They weren't, you know, they didn't taste like pickles, but they were, I think, you know, a homemade version of a pickle salad, and he did it with cucumbers that were peeled. So again, in Israel, this might be a good kula, because in Israel, actually, nobody ever peels the cucumbers. So there's even more room for leniency. I'm not so sure, though, this would be a good kula in America. Again, you could say it's rare to do this, but I'm not sure that's a good enough argument. Now, another kula would be that, so if you use oil, the Mishnah Berurah sort of raises this issue. The Mishnah Berurah notes, this is Yud Daled, that it was common practice to put salt on radishes, roitich, and he wonders if that would be permissible since they used to do it on many many radishes at once. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, when Hagenu, Shecholtchen b'Shabbos Tznon, duck, duck, v'nozen oso b'karo, molchen oso, v'sholchen alav chometz v'olchen oso, ulchora hudamia ze lahar b'chatichos t'asar medina, afilu im olchel miyad, v'ein hater, eladech tivul, kol achas b'fnei atzma. How are we allowed to cut up the radishes and salt them? It should only be permissible to have them one at a time, you know, slice up your radish and dip them in salt one at a time. That would certainly be okay. But what the common practice was in Radin, that should be aser, says the Mishnah Berurah. My grandfather also used to do this. He would have radishes every Friday night with his chicken soup. Anyway, I don't know. He might have salted them before Shabbos. I don't remember. Venera, dekevan de'en menichan oso klal lehazia. El shovchen sham hachomets, v'gam minim acherim, o damil ibu. V'kol shekinim shovchen sham shemen tekef, shashemen machlish koach hamelach. So he answers that you don't put the salt on and wait. That would be aser. But immediately after you put the salt on and you add vinegar, then it's okay, and especially oil. So what does it help to put the vinegar on immediately after you salt it? So Dir Shunot 22 and the Orlet Sion and the Nissen Karelitz say that it's because the vinegar weakens the effectiveness of the salt, much like oil does. And that's a little less clear. That's why he says kol shekein if it's shemen. So if this is the heter, then it won't help us for my cucumber dilemma, right? Or as Yoni would say, we're in a real pickle now. Because I don't want to put anything but a little salt on my cucumbers, right? So I just want to sprinkle a little bit of salt on my cucumber. I don't want to put oil or vinegar or anything else. So that seems to be a problem. So taka. Some poskim are machmir. If you look at the Rusinuch Benim Kohn's Sefer, he writes that the only way to put salt on vegetables of this sort is if they're done one at a time, or to put some liquid on it, like vinegar. I thought maybe you could be matir, perhaps, I'm not sure, for a different reason, along the lines of actually what Yoni was suggesting with respect to sieve base. But here I think it's even easier. The Mishnah Berurah implies, I think, that it's only usher if there's enough salt to be mezia. This is, I think, implied by Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Zayin, that the Mishnah Berurah says if it's mezia ktsas, it's usher, but at least it has to be mezia ktsas. And that's why he's okay as opposed to sif beis, when we're talking about making the brine, and he said that you have to put in the oil first, because if you put in the oil last, it's already usser. Here, he says, no, it's okay if you put in the oil last, because as long as you put in the oil before it's mezia, then you're okay. Apparently, to be mezia, to sweat, takes a little bit of time. It's only usser if it's mezia. Even if it's mezia ktsas, it's usser. But it's only usser if it's mezia ktsas. So what about if you just sprinkle a little bit of cucumbers on a little bit of salt on your cucumbers? Maybe it's not even mezia. So I experimented with this. I put out a plate with salted cucumbers, the way we salt them, and half the ones were salted and half the ones weren't salted. And I asked my family to see if they could identify the ones that were salted. And they were only about 55% of the time correct. They're slightly more. I don't know what that indicates, but as far as I could tell, you couldn't look at them and see, at least noticeably see. Again, maybe if you're trained and the like, it would be possible. But to the normal eye, there was no difference in appearance between the salted ones and the unsalted ones. They didn't seem to be mezia. They didn't seem to sweat. So even though probably if you would have put more salt on them, that would have drawn out the moisture and you would have been able to notice this. Now, if I was doing a better experiment, I would have also tried on radishes and seen if it's different and, you know, I achieved different results. But I don't have any radishes handy, so I didn't experiment. But anyway, I thought that since they're not, as far as, you know, the eye can see, they're not mezia at all, then based off of what the Mishnah Berurah said, it would be okay. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says again that if you put even a lot of salt, but then you put the vinegar on before it's mezia, it's okay. So perhaps maybe you guys could think about it. Tell me what you think about that kula. That would be a permissible way to put salt on your cucumbers.
Rabbi,
obviously very hesitant because, as I noted, the Dirshu says not this way. The Dirshu assumes that the Isser is on a kolshu. Yes, Yoni.
Okay, never mind. You just answered my question.
I have a question.
Yeah.
But if I may ask. Earlier you were talking about the it would be relevant whether the vegetables in question are the ones which are customarily pickled. So that would be a matter of cuisinary styles.
Yes.
Now you're talking about a more physical thing. Are the deliquescent vegetables, do they give out liquids in the presence of salt? So whether or not you pickle them or not customarily, if they give off liquid, then it would be usser.
Either one is enough to make it mutter. In other words, if it's a type of vegetable that's not normally pickled, like sliced tomatoes, so then it would be okay to put on salt, even if they are mezia. And if it's a type of vegetable that is pickled, but I'm suggesting you put on so little salt that it's not mezia, it would also be mutter. Another tzad to be makel, which is not a great tzad for the reason I said before, is that the types of cucumbers that are generally eaten are not the types that are usually pickled. When people want to make actual pickles, they use a different type of salt, a different type of pickle. The reason why that's not a great kula is like I said, because even though they don't make pickles out of them, and people make cucumber salad out of them, which is basically pickling them. So as I said, this isser doesn't apply to things that aren't pickled. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel says that eggs are okay. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that's because, number one, you don't pickle them, and number two, they're not transformed. It just improves the taste. So, for example, I would imagine that you could put salt on an avocado or something like that. The Mishnah Berurah writes you can't salt salatim, which I think means lettuce, but I don't think this would be true anymore. Sounds like they used to do something with their salatim, which I think is lettuce, that would make something like sauerkraut. They would put salt on it, and then they would sort of let it sit, and then it would drain out the liquid. But I don't think we do any of that to our salad, our lettuce. So I think probably lettuce would be okay nowadays. I must have said something really funny that I didn't even realize.
No, no, no. Gabe posted a link about pickled eggs.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was once at the house of a Moroccan, and he said a great delicacy in Morocco. I'll have to ask Adam if this is, you know, true, is pickled eggs.
I think I've seen something. I don't remember, though. I've seen eggs with something. I didn't know what was going on. It's possible, though.
Yeah. In Radin, I guess, the Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim, I don't know how many Moroccans he knew. Okay. So, you can't go by Google alone, because everybody does some crazy thing. And if you Google anything, you know, then you'll find recipes for it on Google. So if it's such a strange thing, then I don't think that's going to be kobeh l'alacha b'avla d'aita mitzvah adam. It's only things that are commonly done. Doesn't have to be that common, but somewhat common. So the fact that, you know, some people, you know, pickle string beans doesn't mean it's usher to put salt on your string beans. Okay, turning to Sif Dalad. Yesh mishakasav shemotah litfol kama chatichos tsnon achas achas levada lanicham yachad lefanav kedei la'ochlam miyadzu acharzu. So according to this, yesh mishomer, let's say all my kulas from Sif Gimel were not acceptable. So if you wanted to put out a platter of cucumbers, for Shal Shudas, what you could do was cut up your cucumber and dip them into salt one at a time and put them on a platter that way. In other words, that salting them all together, four or five at a time, that would be usher, but one piece at a time is mutter. The Mishnah Berurah says that's also only if they're not nogim zelazah. So you need a very big platter, because all of your pieces of cucumber can touch each other. Al-Kapana, the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't accept this. Kula, the minhag is not to follow the Siyesh Mishakasav. And therefore, if it's usur to salt cucumbers, then the only way to do it is to, you know, dip them in one at a time and eat them, not to put out a platter of them, even if you've only salted them one at a time. Just one small hara from Sifhei, and then we'll stop. Magen Avraham, cited by the Mishnah Berurah, prohibits washing down the meat. We know that the halacha is that in order to cook meat, it needs to be salted. And the halacha is, this is not from the Gemara, but from the Gaonim, that it has to be salted within 3 days. What if it's not going to be salted within 3 days? So then you could still roast the meat, but you couldn't cook it. So what if the third day is going to be Shabbos? One thing. So the Gaonim said, but if you wash down the meat, then that extends the life for another 3 days. If you look at the memoirs of Rav Emanuel Feldman from Atlantis, he talks all about how frequently the trucks would stop in Atlanta and you'd have to go in to the trucks with the hose and wash down the meat. And the truckers would come in and ask for their meat to be washed. So that's what you do. That's what you do in order to have your meat, if you want to salt your meat, so you would be able to cook it. Cooking doesn't just mean cooking in water, but any time that it's not roasted over an open fire. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, or the Magen Avraham, cited by the Mishnah Berurah, writes that it's prohibited to wash down the meat. And it seems like it's asur kas vachana. And he says that when there's no hafsid, it's asur even if done by a guy. There's no hafsid because you could eat it roasted, which is not a bad option. So you see here an interesting thing, that there's no hatter for a guy for hachana. In other words, sometimes people think that there's no iser hachana. There's no miral nachri for hachana. So you could ask a guy to do hachana. Let's say wash the dishes. So you're allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, and you might need them on Shabbos. Let's say you don't need them on Shabbos. And you know you're not going to need them. It's not like cups that you never know. You know you're not going to need these. So, but they still have a hired help. They'll have a guy wash them. Is that okay? So it could be. So it sounds like from this Mishnah Berurah that would be aser. I hope to get back to these halachas a little later, but it could be that that's a little different. And that's because over here, it's much more strict and aser even for a guy, because it's nikar shu l'chol. And that's what the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah right over here. In the case of the dishes, that's not always the case. I might know that I don't need these dishes anymore on Shabbos. So therefore, it'd be usher for a Jew al tzachana. But if a guy is washing the dishes, it's not nekrosh u'b'chol, maybe he will need them again on Shabbos. And therefore, it would be mutter, assuming that you're not asking them to do melacha. Anyway, that's an interesting hara, but we will, Be'ez Hashem, return to it when we do hachana at some point. I'm not sure when. So that brings us to a conclusion of today's shiur. And Be'ezras Hashem, on Sunday, we will pick up with the next melacha, and I will, Amir Tzah Hashem, send you Mare Mekomos on that now, or in a couple minutes. Okay. Pickled eggs, according to Gabe, are important elements of Amish and Cantonese cuisine. Okay, so in China and in Pennsylvania, it will be usher to salt your eggs, perhaps on Shabbos, but maybe they only salt whole eggs, you know, not sliced eggs. Okay, Aaron, you have your hand up. Is your question still relevant?
Thank you, Rabbi.
My question is still relevant.
Okay, go ahead. Have a good day, everybody. Good Shabbos.
Honestly, Tamua Bedavar, there's no, according to Rashi, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, there's no tzad, at least Al Pi Svara, there's no